It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're presently studying through the book of Acts, and we're in Acts chapter 25. Just before we go into Acts chapter 26, I'd like to finish these next few verses, Acts 25 and verses 23 through 27. We see in these verses that Paul is going to be introduced to King Agrippa. And we read this, and starting in verse 23 down through verse 27, it says, "And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city at Festus's command, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that, after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him." Well, what is all this about? Well, the day after Agrippa and Bernice arrived in Caesarea, Paul was brought before the king after much ceremonial splendor, in other words, pomp. And it was given to Agrippa and Bernice, this pomp and splendor was given. They had made a big deal out of these people. Well, then we read, and we go on to read in verse 24, how that Festus explained the situation to Agrippa, and the men gathered. And Festus reported that the Jews claimed Paul was not fit to live any longer. Well, and Festus stated that he found that Paul had committed nothing deserving death, according to verse 25. Well, he noted that Paul had appealed to Caesar, and he was going to send him to Caesar. Now, Festus was at a loss of words to write about Paul to Caesar. In other words, he couldn't think of anything. And, this brings to mind something that maybe you've heard someone say, the term passing the buck. Well, it seems here that Festus passes the buck, according to verse 26. And he's specifically brought Paul before Agrippa for interrogation. Well, let me give a little bit of history here about the buck. Passing the buck. This means to evade responsibility by passing it on to someone else. Well, where did this come from? Well, I've read and I see that according to history, poker became a very popular thing in America during the second half of the 19th century. Players were highly suspicious of cheating or any form of bias. And in order to avoid unfairness, the deal changed hands during sessions. The person who was next in line to the deal would be given a marker. This was often a knife, and the knives often had handles made of, you guessed it, buck's horn. And we see that because of this, the marker became known as a buck. But when the dealer's turn was done, he passed the buck. And later on, we see that silver dollars were later used as markers, and this is probably the origin of the use of buck as a slang term for a dollar. Now, don't hold me to that because, you know, I wasn't alive at that time, as many people may think I was, but this is the term passing the buck. And this is exactly what Festus was doing. He was passing the buck on to the next person who would be in charge, and that's Agrippa. Well, Festus reasoned that after Agrippa's examination of Paul, he could possibly have something to write in verse 26. In other words, he would have something to write to Caesar. This is because that it would be unreasonable to send an appeal to Caesar without specifying the charges, according to verse 27. You see, if this was not done, if Festus had not done this, had he not gone and tried to find out exactly what was going on, he was in the dark and he was trying to find out what he would do. Festus would look like a complete dummy if he wrote to Caesar and said, "This man is appearing before you because there are no real charges against him according to Roman law." In other words, he was at a loss. He didn't know what to do. And many times we find this in courts of law, and sometimes people are brought up on false charges. And when they go before the magistrate or the judge or whoever they go before, they find that this was completely false against this person, and it's thrown out of court. Well, this was what the man in charge, Festus, was afraid of. He didn't want to look like a dummy, so he went to King Agrippa. Well, we move on now to chapter 26 of the book of Acts, and we read in this chapter that King Agrippa hears Paul, and we also see that Paul, the Jew, once again, he's going to give an account here before his conversion. And once again, Paul uses this opportunity to preach the word of God, to tell people about Jesus Christ and what he can do for them. He did it for Paul, and he can do it for someone else who would trust Jesus as Savior. Well, King Agrippa, we see in verse 1, gave Paul permission to speak for himself. We read that in verse 1 of chapter 26. It says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself." And we read in verse 23 through 24, once again, in Acts chapter 25, it says, "On the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp and was entered in." Remember, we talked about that, how that they made a big deal about Agrippa and Bernice coming in. They came in with the chief captains and principal men of the city at Festus' command, and Paul was brought forth. And verse 24 of chapter 25 says, "And Festus said, King Agrippa and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer." He said they want to kill him. Well, chapter 26, verses 2 and 3, Paul starts here by acknowledging that Agrippa was expert in the Jewish customs and questioned about the Jews. Starting with verse 2 of chapter 26, reading verse 2 and 3, it says, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently." Well, and we keep reading in verse 4, and it says, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews." In other words, they knew about Paul. They knew who he was. And here we see that Paul talks of his former life as a Jew and of a Pharisee, according to verse 4 and 5. We'll read verse 5 in just a moment. Then Paul had spent his early life in Jerusalem, according to verse 4, and all the Jews knew this. Well, the scripture goes on to say in Acts chapter 26 and verse 5, Paul says, "which knew me from the beginning." Let me read verse 4 and go with that. Verse 4 says, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews," verse 25, "which knew me from the beginning," the Jews knew him, "if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee." You see, Paul was a member of the strictest sect, the Pharisees. And he was somebody who these people knew about. And then we read on in verse 26, it says, "And now I stand and am judged," Paul says, "for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." Paul noted here that he was being judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. This is in verse 6. Well, he's going to get into this in a moment now about the promise. And verse 7, it goes on to say, unto which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. They had a hope. These Jews had a hope of this. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. In other words, he was saying nothing but the truth. And Paul reiterated here that this was the accusation. In other words, the hope, this hope. And you compare verse 7 with what he's being accused of. Compare that with Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 15. And you'll notice the word hope in Ezekiel. Paul is simply talking about the prophets of old. He's telling them what God said was going to take place. In verse 20, in chapter 26 of Acts and verse 8, it goes on to say, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Well, Paul asked Agrippa this. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? In other words, he believed that King Agrippa should understand this. Then in verse 9, it says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, this is before he was converted, before he got saved. And he originally thought that he should act contrary or hinder, obstruct, oppose Jesus of Nazareth. And then in verse 10, he goes on to say which thing. In verse 9, he's quoting verse 9 here. He's referring back to verse 9. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. Paul's telling him here that he actually fought against what he what he's preaching about today. He was actually wrong. He's getting into that you know, he wants King Agrippa to understand that these Jews knew who he was, that he persecuted the Christians, how that he had cast Christians in prison. He voted for their deaths. He punished them. He compelled them to blaspheme. In other words, to swear in a way that reviled the name of Jesus. And he even persecuted them into foreign cities. He not only stayed local, he went everywhere he could to persecute Christians. Now, Paul's going to get in about the Damascus Road, his conversion here, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And we'll look at that next time when we get into this, Acts chapter 26, and we'll read through verse 12 through 18. But let me ask you, have you met Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, then the Bible says you're not on your way to heaven. Being a good person does not take a person to heaven. In other words, how good do you have to be in order to go to heaven? Well, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches us that no sin will enter into the kingdom of God. So if you're a sinner and you admit that, there's no question about that you are a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned. And if you will admit that you're a sinner, then ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. One day you're going to stand before God at the white throne judgment if you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior. And the Bible tells us that you will be cast into the lake of fire. And I would urge you today to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.